The title of the message is What Will They Find Here? And, you know, I started talking about the fact that many people over the years, they have shown that they are afraid to walk through the doors of a church. I've had many people tell me that over the years. And I want to tell you, their eyes are on the church. They are investigating us. They're watching us. They're watching us on the job. They're watching us in the grocery store. They're watching us in the Walmart parking lot. They're watching us in the Walmart line, right? They're watching to see if you're going to have 20 items in the 15 or less, right? They're watching, right? So people are watching all the time because they want the church. They're looking for something. They're looking for a people who really do represent this Jesus that they've heard about. And it just almost seems too good to be true. And so, unfortunately, a lot of times people will never walk into a church because of what they've seen outside the four walls of a church, because we know the church is really the people. And so we want to make sure we understand that wherever we are, whenever we're there, we are representing Him 24/7. How many of you understand that? We represent Him all the time. Not only that, but we represent each other. I mean, if I go out here and act like a fool, I'm representing you too. I'm representing this whole body. So are you. If you go out there and have some kind of road rage fit, you represent all of us. Whatever it is, you get mad and you cuss somebody out, because you represent all of us. And so the main reason I'm telling you that is, more importantly, you represent Him. A lot of times, again, people, like, they're curious. They might want to know a little bit more, but they're scared to go where they're going to hear about it because they've had some kind of bad experience out there. And God doesn't want that. What He wants is for us to truly be able to represent Him. And we can through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and me. I've said that hundreds of times, I believe, over the years. But it's because that was such a revelation to me. You mean the same Spirit? Literally, that's literal. That's not just, you know, symbolic talk. No, the literal same Spirit lives in me that raised Christ from the dead. And I'm still making excuses about why I can't do this and can't do that. The same Spirit. And I've often said, and it's not a Holy Ghost Junior. It's not a Holy Ghost mini-me. It's the original Holy Ghost. He's the one that lives in us, right? The world, when the world looks at the church, what will they find? There's a, you know, scripture we talked about last week, and it's so important, where we said, number one thing, I hope they find, what God wants them to find is salvation instead of selfishness. Salvation instead of selfishness. Nobody has to be trained how to be selfish. Selfishness just comes easy, really. It's easy. Remember, again, the people are the church, and so that means that they're getting a view of Jesus, or at least what they think is Jesus, whether inside a building or outside of this building. And I talked about John chapter 12, verse 20 through 21, where it says, now there were some Greeks among those. In other words, the Greeks were not the people of God. These were people who were stuck in their own mind, and they're very analytical and so on and so forth, very much driven by the flesh as a culture. And it says, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip. You could put your own name in there, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And as I was looking at this, like, the first time I realized, I mean, this applies to all of us. They were literally in a spot where they were really wanting to see Jesus, and they're pretty much asking Him, where can I find Him? They say, sir, we would like to see Jesus. But when you look at it, the way the Lord dropped this in my heart was, every time somebody out there, every time one of them Greeks, or every time someone who doesn't know Christ, every time they see you or me, they're saying, sir or ma'am, we would like to see Jesus. That everywhere we go, we should be representing Him. And they're saying, I want to see the real thing. I don't want to just see people claiming it. I want to see the real thing. I want to see the real Jesus. I want to see if He really is who they say He is. I want to see if He really is in you who you claim He is. And so that speaks loudly to me. And unfortunately, I will tell you that there's been too many times in my life where they came to see Jesus, but they saw Dwayne, who was a pain in the brain. I'm telling you, Don't think that because I'm standing behind a pulpit don't mean that I don't have the same flesh everybody else has and the same feelings everybody else has. And unfortunately, although I should never not follow the Holy Spirit, there are times when even today, after all these years of serving God, I have to repent because I realize, you know what? That wasn't you, Holy Spirit. That was me. That was Dwayne. And he is a pain in the brain. Let me tell you that it is possible to go to church every Sunday and even every Wednesday and still never see Jesus. You know, today, before we get out of here, I want to give everybody an opportunity, if you have not done so, to be born again. You know, or when the Greeks or when the world sees you, they need to realize that his power is real because they see it working in your life. And if that is not the case, then why do we even exist as the body of Christ? You know, Jesus did all the work that needed to be done in bringing redemption and making redemption possible, but there's more work to do, and he gave that to us, his church. And that's why he called us the body of Christ, because there's more to do. And then he said, you'll do the same things that I did, except you'll do it greater. Well, what does that mean by greater? Does that mean better miracles, more amazing miracles than we saw? No, it means greater. There's not just one body now. It's a whole bunch of people that make up the body. So we said that people need to see salvation. Hopefully, this is what God wants. They'll see salvation instead of selfishness. And every single day, you have to get up and deal with that flesh that wants to be selfish. And so people see enough of that out in the world because the world is selfish. They need to see something different. Now, number two, when they show up, when they see the church, God wants them to be able to find acceptance instead of acceptance. Acceptance instead of acceptance. In other words, we don't say here, we accept anyone except, and then you fill in the blank. We don't accept anyone except. I'll let you fill that blank in with your own personal prejudice, whatever that might be. Now, understand me, though. I'm not saying that we should ever accept sinful behavior as okay. Anybody that knows us knows that, okay? Anybody is welcome to show up at this church. Anybody is welcome to come and receive the Word of God. Anybody, no matter what their background is, no matter what their socioeconomic status is, none of that matters. Doesn't matter what their skin color is. It doesn't matter. Any of that stuff doesn't matter. Everybody is welcome to come and hear the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God transforms lives if they will receive it. Anybody is welcome. But that also, you got to understand, that also doesn't mean that we are going to say that it's okay. I'm never going to say that sexual immorality of any kind is okay. Whether it's talking about homosexuality or whether it's talking about, you know, any other kind of immorality like that, okay? People be shacked up, jacked up, backed up, lacked up, and cracked up, and we'll still let them in so they can hear the word because we want their life to be transformed. But we're never going to say that anything sinful that God calls sinful is okay. We want people to get free from that. And so, but how can they get free if they never hear the word of God, if they never hear the truth that makes people free? The only exception now is that when the scripture makes an exception, and like when someone has been hearing the word, but they're acting like a predator, that's different. And I want to deal with this subject right now because that's not happening right now. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there are certain lines that the scripture does draw. I mean, there's certain lines in the scripture where the Apostle Paul even says, you know, I turned them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh so that their soul might be saved. There are times when he instructs, kick them out of the church, shun them. Well, that sounds so harsh. And in the modern day church, well, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to just love everybody. Well, we do. But how many of you know it's not love? It's not love. If your child was, you know, standing right here and a wolf was coming at that child, how many of you know it's not love to let the wolf come and devour your child? How many of you know it's not love if the wolf is actually a person who is a predator of some kind? How many of you know it's not love to allow that person to do that? And the world has this messed up idea of what love is, as though love is just accepting anything and everything and it just, you know, it's okay, it's all right. And unfortunately, a lot of preachers today will not deal with the hard subjects. They just want everybody get along and accept, and we just need unity. But it's a unity not of the spirit that they're after. You know, can't we all just get along? Well, yeah, we can. We're going to love everybody, but we're not going to agree with everything. All right. There are times, and there's been a few times over the years where we've had to draw that line and say, no, you can't cross that line. There have been a few times when I've had to tell people, you can't come back until there's repentance. When there is true repentance demonstrated in your life and you're no longer acting like a predator, then that's different. There have been some times where I've had to tell people, if you show back up here, you're going to leave out in the back of a police car. Now, here's the problem. Here's the hard part for a shepherd. Is that as a shepherd, you can't go tell everybody all the business. You can't tell everybody about everything that person did. Because then, unfortunately, immature people will now shut the door and crucify that person instead of dealing with them in love and praying for them, even though they have to be shunned. Now, I know this is a crazy subject for some of y'all to even hear about, but you know, the truth of the matter is, sometimes we're not at liberty to say things that we know, but you're going to have to trust that we're looking out for the sheep, all right? Now, again, that's nothing going on. There's no danger, nothing going on here right now. I'm just telling you that that is part of how the church is supposed to function. So when somebody's been hearing the word and acting like a predator, or here's another one, if they're not supposed to, by law, be around children because of past behavior, man, my heart breaks for them. It breaks for them because, you know, I want them to know Christ. But the law says there are certain people, you can't have them in a church where you got children. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Doesn't mean we don't love them. But here's what my experience has been, because we've had people come, show up, that had that kind of a past. And so what I have done is offered them, look, I will meet with you at a different time. We can meet at a different time. We can visit at a different time. But you can't be here and be around children because the law says you can't because of a decision you made. Doesn't mean God can't forgive you or hasn't forgiven you, but we still have to abide by the law, right? And so I would offer to do something different offsite. And you know what? Not one time have they ever taken me up on it. You know why? Because their intention was they still wanted to be a predator, right? And then here's the other part. And then the family members who invited them to church all get mad and they all leave because you're supposed to let Johnny do whatever he wants to do, or Buddy, or Jim, or you know, whatever his name, whatever would be. So again, there are people that you do have to push back on. And one of those is those who cause division and they refuse to repent. Those things are all, listen, they're all important. It's all biblical stuff, and it's stuff that preachers don't even like to talk about. I don't like to talk about it. But it's truth. And the problem is, if you never confront it, if you never push back, they'll never come to repentance. In that case, there being a wolf who is endangering God's sheep. And as a shepherd, we have to protect the sheep. So there are times when we have to make decisions that people are not going to understand. It just happens. And we've had it happen in times. So that person will be dealt with according to the scripture and put out in hopes that they will eventually come to repentance if that person is a dangerous person. I'm saying all this to say, because my second point here is that when people come, when God brings them here, we want them to find acceptance instead of acceptance. But that doesn't mean that you just allow people to live in a way and do things and flaunt things that they should never be flaunting and being any kind of a danger to the body of Christ and to God's sheep. You know, Pastor Cindy was talking about recently about David and looking at David's life. And one of the reasons that God, I think, raised David up like he did was David was taking care of his father's sheep. And David was willing to literally put himself in danger to take care of his father's sheep. He understood they were not his sheep, but he felt the weight of that responsibility to honor his father. He's going to take care of his sheep. And every pastor ought to have the same kind of a mentality that says, these are my father's sheep, and I'm going to give them what they need. I'm going to feed them what the father would want to feed them, and I'm going to protect them, and we're going to do whatever we need to do. Now, I'm not talking about going off in the flesh. I'm not talking about, you know, beating somebody up, all right? I'm not talking about that. But we should still pray. We should pray for people. And here's the thing I want you to understand. Even if they can't come, if God somehow exposed your life to them or them to you, at the very least, we have an obligation to pray for that person. Because Jesus shed his blood. He spent his blood for that person. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But the goal is to bring them to repentance. They will not be given access to the sheep, but we do love them and we do still pray for them, all right? And I have a scripture about the pastoral or shepherd role that in that kind of situation, the Apostle Paul gives this instruction to the elders of the Ephesian church in Acts 20, verse 27 through 31. He says, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." We would like to say that we certainly strive to be that same way here. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." I want to tell you, there's a mouthful right there because there's pastors. If you pay attention to the news at all, there's pastors all over, shepherds, supposed to be shepherds, all over this country. For years and years, we've been seeing them come down one after the other, one after the other. For one, they didn't keep watch over themselves. They got to a point where they thought that they were, you know, somehow above the people and somehow that they were infallible themselves. And then they get themselves into a mess, somehow justifying their actions. And God, I believe, the whole time is giving them an opportunity to repent. But when they refuse to repent, then God has to finally expose them for the sake of the people and for their sake to give them the opportunity to repent so they don't die in that state. So keep watch over yourselves, first of all, and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And notice he calls them the flock. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, and this is one of the saddest scriptures, it really is. After I leave, savage, everybody say savage. Savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. There's no love in them, people. So we want to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, right? "Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves." Can I tell you that anytime the truth is being distorted, I want to tell you who's leading that. It's the same one who distorted the truth to Adam and Eve in the beginning. And it's the same one who tried to distort the truth to Jesus in the beginning of his ministry. And he is the enemy of your soul. "But even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." In other words, it's not about shepherding the people and giving the people what they need. It's about me growing my thing. It's about me building my kingdom. It's about me pushing my brand. And it has infected the modern day church. And in verse 31, Paul says, "So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." Paul is so passionate about this that he says, for 3 years, 3 years, I never stopped. And he was so passionate that he's doing it with tears. He's warning them. Why? Because he can see what's coming. And he could see that if you don't pay attention, if you don't stick with the word of God, if you don't stick with the truth, if you're not careful, the enemy is going to come in. There are whole denominations right now, whole denominations that the wolves, the predators have invaded. And here's the thing, they've been welcomed in. And now they've overtaken whole denominations who are doing away with and over trying to overtake those who truly preach the word of God, who truly preach the truth. So he says, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you. That was going on all the way back then. Don't think it's not going on now. All right? So we want to stick with the truth of God's word, period. And so understand also that someone living in blatant known sin will not be given any kind of authority in the church. They can't. So we follow the guidelines given in the Word of God for that. But everyone is certainly welcome to hear the Word and have their faith built so that they can come to repentance and be healed. Every person that we meet, we should meet them. If they're walking through the doors of the church building or we meet them somewhere else, we should be looking at them as a potential sheep for God. Understand, we love all people. And when they come through the doors of this church, or they meet you or me in a grocery store, God wants people to sense that this is a place in our lives, or a place where the life of Christ abides. Remember what the world is saying. Sir, ma'am, we want to see Jesus. I want people to know that we love them, that we will not give up on them as they progress in their faith, growing into Christ's likeness. I want people to know that we accept people of all skin colors as well. I want to tell you, that's a big problem still today. Still today, you got black churches and you got white churches. Am I lying? No. I'm telling you the truth in all those denominations. And so, look, here's my stance on this church right here. We allow anybody and we encourage anybody and we want to reach out and love anybody of every skin color. We even allow white people to come here. Can you believe that? I want them to know that we accept people from all walks of life. I want people to know that this is a place where we believe that it's His will to heal them, that this is a place and the presence of the Lord will be here to reverse things from the curse. The presence of the Lord will be here to heal wounds of every kind. We should be just casting that net out there and trying to catch all kinds of fish. And then we let God sort those fish out. We understand that, like all of us at one time, you know, there's various fish. Like, for instance, how many of you ever thrown a cast net? Anybody ever thrown a cast net or see somebody throw a cast net? When you throw a cast net, what happens? When that net goes in, especially if there's some fish, what happens? Do you typically only catch one kind of fish? No, you're going to catch all kind of stuff in that wide cast net. So, you know, there are teachings today. There are those at church growth experts today that tell you, you need to get a target audience and just go after all those. Jesus never said to do that. And He never said to use lures either. He used, the fishing He used was fishing with a net. Amen. And when you fish with a net, you get all kinds of fish. I mean, you might get you some, I don't know, some white trout in there. You might get you a black drum. You might even get you a red in there, right? I mean, there's fish of all kinds and all colors. You might get a few shrimp in there. You might even get some crabs show up. I mean, you know, sometimes crabs show up in church, all right? There's all kinds of people that we're going to catch. And it's important for us to understand that some of those, especially when they first come in to the kingdom, some of those that you catch are sailfish. I'll let you think about that one. But we want to give them a chance to come and repent. And by the way, they're sailfish just like you were when you came in. Amen? But we want to give them a chance to come to repentance. And what we want to do is turn them in from sailfish. We want them to be transformed into swordfish. Swordfish. Those that know how to use the sword. I think some people call it a sword, but I'm just... Cajun boy, it's a swordfish. So I'm asking the question again, when the world sees the church, what and who will they find? Hopefully, they'll be able to say, I saw Jesus. I really saw Jesus. I saw someone who really demonstrates the love that Jesus had when He walked this earth. And it's you and me that they ought to see it through. I remember years ago, we had a man. And I did a call for salvation for those that wanted to be born again. And we had a man that had been with us for quite a while. And he'd always sit in the back. And when I was preaching, I mean, he was like a cheerleader. He was like, amen, preacher. Amen. Mr. Jimmy Bolt. I'll never forget him. And one day I made a call for that, for those that wanted to be saved. And Mr. Jimmy actually got out of his seat and he came running up to the front. Now, he was 81 years old. And I said, Mr. Jimmy, are you coming to stand in for somebody or something? He goes, no, preacher, I want to get saved. I said, Mr. Jimmy, you're not saved? You were never? He goes, nope. I said, well, you've been coming to church all this time. And he was going to another church like this before he came to us. He goes, nope. He said, I just like church and I like the preaching, but I had never been saved. It was hard for me to even believe him. I thought he was joking with me. And I want to tell you, I prayed with him and he just cried and cried and cried. As the Lord washed that stuff out of his own heart, and as he surrendered himself, and he became born again. This morning in the first service, we had a young lady in the first service. I had no idea. She's such a sweetheart of a lady. And she came up to me afterwards, and she said, "Pastor, I want you to know I got born again today." It's beautiful when that happens. So today, what I want to do is I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you've never been born again, in other words, you've never become that new creation, and you know God wants you to become that new creation. The Bible says the old is gone and the new has come. If you've never been born again, or maybe you just need to rededicate yourself, I think is the word people typically use, and say, you know what, I just want to get back on track. I want to invite you to pray with me. And I'm going to pray, and I want to tell you, these words will mean nothing if you don't mean them from your heart. And this is just a start. You understand, when you get saved, when you get born again, it's just the beginning. It's like literally, you like a little baby being born, and it's a brand new start. And it takes a lot of learning and a lot of growing. And, you know, when you first get saved, it's called justification. God justifies you, and he takes all your past, and he washes it all away. All of the sin, all of that, he just washes it away. But then the next process starts called sanctification. It's where he's cleaning us up. He's doing what he needs to do, and he's teaching us, and our minds are being renewed according to the word of God. And it's a beautiful thing. Well, I was 7 years old when I came to Christ, so I know that there's nobody in this room too old or too young to say yes to Jesus and to be born again, and to become that new creature in Christ Jesus. I was 7 years old. I didn't understand a whole lot about the world, but I did understand this when my pastor made that call about giving your life to Christ, about being born again. I understood that I was a sinner, even at 7 years old. I understood that I had disobeyed my parents, and I had dishonored them at times, and I had even lied to cover myself up at times. And you know, my poor brother, they would get the blame for everything because I was the sweet little boy. And you know, and I remember clearly pouring a bunch of washing powder in between the washer and dryer, and I lied about it and said it wasn't me because I knew whoever got caught doing that was going to get that spanking. And my brother had, I'll never forget, my mom sat us all down on the couch and said, "All right, who did it? Who did it? None of y'all are going to get up. You're not going to get up. You're not going to go anywhere until somebody admits it." And my brother, he didn't like that. He'd rather take a spanking. And I'll never forget, my brother said, "It was me." And I'm thinking, he's lying. It wasn't him, because I knew it was me. But he was volunteering to let him get the spanking, so I let him. See, that stuff, even as a little kid, that stuff was in my heart. You can't just do something and just ignore it and suppress it and think it's not going to affect you. And even at 7 years old, I understood I needed a Savior. So I want to pray with you today. And if you mean this with your heart, you really mean it. And I'm going to ask everybody to pray it with me. If you really mean this, something is going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come to live inside of you. You will start fresh. I mean, it's going to be a new life. And something's going to happen. It'll begin to happen from the inside out. Things will begin to change, okay? You don't need religion. You need salvation. You need to be born again. So let's pray. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you today. I recognize my need. I need Jesus in my life. I need to be born again. I accept the salvation you offer, but I also repent of my sin. Father, I'm so sorry because I have sinned. And it's nobody's fault but mine. I'm praying for you to wash that away. Give me a brand new start today. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I invite you in. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to come and live inside of me and teach me and grow me to that which God wants me to be. I yield myself to you, Lord. I surrender myself completely to you. From this day forward, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'll live every day for you, Jesus. By your grace and your grace alone, I know I can't do it in the flesh. Help me to be quick to repent anytime I blow it. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for washing my sin away. Thank you for washing my old man away and making me new. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. I believe, Lord, that you died for my sin and you rose from the grave. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now listen, I just want to encourage you today, if you got born again, or if you rededicated your life to Christ today, before you leave here, find somebody maybe you know or maybe don't know, I don't know, just shake their hand and tell them, I just want you to know I got born again today. Or I want you to know I rededicated my life to Christ today, okay? Do that and encourage them by saying that, and we'll all rejoice with you.